Delango, this is Connecticut Taco. What you're about to hear is a Human Rights Radio exclusive presentation that was first aired Monday, November 19, 2001, at 11:30 p.m., entitled The Human Rights Patrol, Part Number 20, Modern Day Slavery in the USA. Your host will be out of the Criminal Enterprise called Springfield, Illinois, war correspondent, commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force, runaway slave, Kaka Mbana Kentako. Have a pleasant flight.
Sam does know he owes our folk a big time debt. He knows
says lights can't help him. True star weapon will collect. We're talking reparations. That's right, we know we are old. Cause for 11 generations in here we were bought in. So see, this crook called Sam did come up when he made our folks his slaves. His posse did the same in Europe, and yes, they too must pay. The lesson, the mind of thyself will help us all move forward. We're taught it will teach us by self to rise to tote the torch. Like those days we were to be down, yet unhooked from our souls. Seeking truth will turn that around with the human rights patrol. It's time we know that we have rights. That's right, rights at our birth. That's right, those rights are human rights. They show our purpose on this earth. It's time we know that we have rights. That's right, rights at our birth. That's right, those rights are human rights. They show our purpose on this earth.
The People's Choice. Human Rights Radio, giving praise to our uncreated creator for allowing us to be with you for our 4,535th night of broadcasting. Time for volume number 20 of the Human Rights Radio co-creation, the Human Rights Patrol. Zalango, we be in Vatican Taco, and in the place to be with us tonight out of the criminal enterprise called Springfield, Illinois, is war correspondent, commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force, elementary sensation, Dada, Kanadi, Kentaco, and Zalango to your sister.
Zalango.
You want to give shout out to those stations who make this program possible across the criminal enterprise called, and across the planet Earth now, right? Criminal enterprise called the United States. Of course, we say criminal. No other country is a criminal. Like this one anyway.
Right.
Right. There are some other ones, but none like this. Right.
Right.
Hey, Frederick Douglass said that in 1851, right? Lay down all the crimes of all the wicked nations of old, and then you could lay them down next to the crimes of this country here by itself. Now, that was 1851 now, mind you. He said, and what this country has done alone would shame a nation of savages. That's some strong words. 1851. Don't even go there. You ain't got to go there.
Right.
Anyhow, so to get that's why we got to get shouts out to those folks at those stations who make it possible for you to hear this Human Rights Radio exclusive co-creation. Remember, when we say co, that means the creator's in it, right? So we ain't claiming credit for nothing. Anyhow, sister, go ahead and share that with them.
First, let's say Zalango to Human Rights Radio, 94.3 FM with Kaka Inko Yuhuru, and the listeners in the Criminal Enterprise called Durham, North Carolina, and the listeners in the Criminal Enterprise called Decatur, Illinois, at 99.9 FM, Human Rights Radio, Burnburn, Brother Lavelle. Also to those who listen at 103.3 FM, BVHP, in the Criminal Enterprise called Bayview, Hunters Point, California, with Kaka Michael Hibbert and the crew, and at 96.3 FM in the Criminal Enterprise called Santa Cruz, California, those who listen to Free Radio Santa Cruz with V-Man and her staff. Let us also shout out to the folks who listen to Berkeley Liberation Radio, run by Paul Griffin and the crew. And at this time, let me remind you, wherever you're listening, to thank those who made it possible. And also invite all of you to check us out on the World Wide Web at www.radio.about.com. Look for the Human Rights Information Network. Click on and hear even more Human Rights Radio.
Thank you so much, Dada Kanadi. And Dada is Swahili means sister, and we working our way back to those languages that give us the correct vibrations. She will be back later on in this edition of the Human Rights Patrol to remind y'all about those stations that make it possible for you to share with us some of the work that the great creative spirit has allowed us to co-create here in the criminal enterprise called Springfield. We're going to go back up into the library, and some programs will start with, like we've already did part one, part two of different things. And we got so many different things we want to share with you that, we'll switch back and forth. But we'll ultimately, it'll all make some kind of sense in the end. I don't know, not by, of course, by me, but certainly going to make sense by in the end, because we wouldn't all be here if it wasn't going to all add up in the end anyway. So what we want to do tonight, though, we want to talk about slavery, because as you see, G.W. Littlebush, y'all's president, bombing Africa continually because that's their thing, stealing from Africa, stealing minerals from Africa, stealing whatever has any value in Africa from Africa, like they stole us, African people, right? And, of course, they got all kind of pretenses why they doing bombing them, but you know what it's about. It's about that minerals. 80% of the minerals they use in this land come from the continent of Africa. One of the biggest lies they told everybody was that, you know, they went off and got us out of Africa because we were savages, you know, and hey, it was a straight come up, you know, it was for our own good, you know, get us out the, you know, the jungle, if you will, right? And that was the biggest lie, because it would have took them civilized folks less time to build them a town than to teach us savages how to build them one and then have us do it, right? So, you know, they didn't come and, they came and got us because we knew how to do that stuff. And, but still today, while they're claiming that we're supposed to be free up in here, slavery's still going on. Now, I'm not going to, you know, read nothing on it right now. We're going to take you into the Human Rights Radio Library of 4,000 tapes. I'll say conservatively speaking, 4,000 tapes we've been collecting over the years as an effort to bring information to the African captive community here in the criminal enterprise called Springfield, and now within the Human Rights Radio Network and now within the Human Rights Information Network. So we're going to sample a piece of tape we got from the Caucus News Network. Y'all call it CNN. And, so that's why they got it down there in Georgia, you know, Atlantis, Georgia. You got to dig on all that ceremonial stupid stuff they be into. Not that it's going to give you any problems. If you're into human rights, nothing they doing is going to ultimately matter in the end, because human rights is digging on divine law. When you're digging on divine law, the first one off top, the first one everybody knows is, grandmama used to say it, they going to get theirs, or we'll go around, come around. But we got to deal with the issue of slavery, because a lot of folks under the false assumption that it's over with because this lying, no-count dog government that said it's over with. Well, you know, there's one thing we should know by now, that they're never going to tell the dang on truth about nothing up in here, right? So let's go to CNN, the summer of 1995. They put this into the record. We're going to play it uninterrupted.
But I know how it feels to be a slave.
How would you gauge the level of fear on these camps?
On a scale of 1 to 10, I would say about 9.5.
She had sunken cheeks. The whites of her eyes were yellow.
It was an unfortunate situation, but I don't think it was slavery.
It has ruined the image of Thailand, just like the drug problem.
You send your daughter to the death. You send your daughter to hell.
This week, CNN presents Faces of Slavery.
A young girl in Thailand, sold for sex. A young boy in India, chained to an exhausting job that he can't escape. A migrant worker in the American South, held in bondage by a burden of debt. These are the modern-day faces of slavery. Welcome to CNN Presents. I'm Bernard Shaw. More than 130 years after Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation, slavery has not been abolished, not here in the United States, not anywhere. A newer and often crueler form of slavery still flourishes. From the impoverished carpet belt of India to the fertile farmland of the Carolinas, it preys on the weakest members of society. People promised a job that turns into a prison. And without our knowing it, we benefit from the sweat of their labor. Pat Etheridge begins with a look at one of the many faces of slavery.
Shine on me.
They buy you and they sell you, just like slaves. A guy can take you to another camp. God can pay him for you. And you're stuck there.
It's a world where the people who pick the food that ends up on your table can become virtual slaves. And it's happening to hundreds upon hundreds of U.S. citizens today.
I wasn't born into slavery time, but I know how it feels to be a slave.
It all starts in the shadows of the shimmering skylines of the New South. In the heart of cities like Atlanta, crew bosses who serve as middlemen to hire help for farmers work the crowd. They target the homeless and the down and out with the promise of work, women, and a drug that binds, crack cocaine.
George Smith was an easy catch. The bright young man with a promising future had lost his job and his marriage, drifting into addiction, surviving in the streets.
And there was a church called Trinity's in Atlanta. We go down there every Sunday to eat. And the guy named Willie Bonds Jr., he pulled up there in a van. And he offered me and two other friends a job. And he told us about how we could make $300 a week. And
had shelter and food and everything. And to a homeless person, that's a lot of money, and hey, sounds like a good opportunity.
I came here with nothing, and I left here with nothing.
From the streets of Atlanta, George Smith ended up here at an isolated camp in eastern North Carolina.
This was the camp that we stayed on when we were here picking potatoes.
There was a summer of picking and not a dime to show. It's an old trap called the company store. Crew leaders offer workers everything from snacks and cigarettes to alcohol, drugs, and women, and charge them exorbitant rates. Whatever they purchase is counted against their earnings. So instead of getting a weekly paycheck, George Smith got a weekly statement of debt. Debt fabricated by a gun-toting crew leader.
Only thing they would give you is a stub to sign saying you owe us this much. And you can't argue with him. Who's going to argue with a man with a shotgun?
And they had dogs stationed at the end of the building here.
Smith and his fellow workers were confined like prisoners and told they could not leave until they worked off their debt.
The time I spent here, I might as well have been in the federal or the state penitentiary, because that's what it was. The only thing is, I was in a prison for doing nothing.
What is most chilling is that this example of modern-day bondage is far from unique. The faces of slavery could belong to someone you know.
Civil War was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago. We talk about that every day in the field, you know what I mean? We got to get away from here.
And he just picked up the pipe and came to me with it and told me what he was going to do to me. Said he'll find me out there in the field somewhere.
Do you consider it slavery?
I think slavery would have been a little better than that. Be honest with you. Be honest, I really think so.
Ironically, it is U.S. citizens, not immigrants, who are more often exploited. They are generally people of color, recruited by black labor bosses, who run remote and decrepit camps far from the fields, in conditions little different than what their ancestors endured.
I'm talking about Americans that are being worked long hours in the hot sun and get no pay and then have to live in totally unacceptable conditions by anybody's standards.
Maxine Miller documents the abuse of migrant workers at a small Catholic mission in Augusta, Georgia.
These are the ones that have just been here since March of this year, asking for our help to get back home.
This is the Underground Railroad, where in just 3 days this summer, we witnessed a steady stream of shaken migrant workers who had fled the fields, many fearing for their lives.
I don't know how much.
Clarence Boyd was advised by a fellow worker to run, but not to turn to the law.
He told me to don't go to the police.
And what? Why did he tell you not to go to the police?
He's telling the police to bring you back. I'll bring you back. That's what he said. I said, it's the law. He said, you just don't know. He said, just do like I tell you, and you get away. And I got away.
Boyd is one of the lucky ones, lucky to locate a rare safe haven where he is given a meal for the road and a bus ticket home.
How would you gauge the level of fear on these camps?
On a scale of 1 to 10, I would say about 9.5.
The intimidation is often physical, inflicted on people who are difficult, if not impossible, to trace. Even crew leaders well known for repeatedly breaking the law resurface season after season. It goes on and on because evidence of slavery, brutality, and criminal activity, including drug trafficking, does not appear to be on the high priority list of the authorities in a position to clean up these camps. Indeed, law enforcement agencies we contacted for this report, from the FBI in Washington to the sheriff in the heart of South Carolina's Peach Country, refused to discuss the issue of migrant workers with CNN.
Sheriff?
The fact is, most government agencies, for whatever reason, don't even know where to start.
The biggest frustration is not knowing where the problems are. They don't put the migrant housing in front of the farmer's house on the highway.
Now, come on, please, now. Look, you remember that phony war on drugs, which was a war on African people? You remember that? When they were sitting in the downtown of the criminal enterprise called Chicago at some precinct, maybe Area 2, who's world famous for torture, right? Maybe they're sitting there and they're thinking, you know, our agents have now discovered that there's a bag of crack cocaine on the 14th floor of an apartment building in Cabrini Green. And they would go storming in there about 50 deep, you know, they could find that, right? But a field full of African slaving, they said, well, we can't find. See, you see, now, a lot of folks are tripping and say, well, I think that's like preaching hate. This is CNN bringing this, okay? You can't doubt the contents of the program. You can't say that we in the African community doctored it. And you know, it's not like something that you can overlook, you know? You know what I mean? The Catholic Church saying they still running the Underground Railroad. You got to watch them because you know how they ran the Underground Railroad for Hitler's posse as well, right? Because the Pope at the time, who sold Hitler his gas? Huh? Who was Big Cat and I.G. Farben? Who was that? Was that the Pope? Man. That's why they had the monastery route up out of the Rhineland when things started going bad. The monastery route was a path up out of Hitlerville. For the Nazis, made possible by the Catholic Church. You see what I'm saying? But they say the Catholic Church down there running what? The Underground Railroad. And old girl broke out a list of folks done broke and ran to get up out of slavery. Now, where's all the leaders? You know, the cats that's got the flags either right or the left. Because, you know, the right should be saying, hey, we got past that. These people ain't making it because they can't make it. And they should be appalled at their trust. That everything was fair had been, you know, it had been betrayed. And the left, of course, but see, the left and the right are both pretenses in this country that those who came here had a spirit to be free. You know what I'm saying? And never could get it out of them. Because I don't ever see where the spirit to be free was. You go back and you look at their European history, I don't see no spirit to be free. Only fighting was going on was between the cats running the castles. And the other folks, they was like the pawns that was used. So the same flavor, but when you run in the lie game, and that's what America is, the lie game, you run it down like you got to run it down. We got another minute. Let's play a little bit more of this. But, oh, brother said, what did they tell him about when you get away from the slave camp? Who not to go to for help? The pigs. Again, Dr. Robert Brock reminds us in the Constitution, Article 4, Section 2, Clause 3, when you talk about no person held in slavery or servitude, you can't use that word held unless you're talking about through force of arms, right? And that's the role of the 5-0. That's why in 95, as CNN did this program, folks said, if you broke and ran from the slave fields of the South in 1995, don't go see the 5-0, the police. I guess they got the name 5-0 from the, you know, what's it, Bookham Dano? What's that boy's name? Hawaii 5-0, they used to come on there, right? They got the name from, that's one of the, I think the name pigs is probably most appropriate because you need to stop dealing with that attitude of fear that you have of them. And you need to get them out of that, you know, invincible place you got them in your mind because they're not invincible. And because you think they are, you tolerate stuff like this, you know. And there's no excuse for that. And if we could find out about it here in the criminal enterprise called Springfield off of CNN, please. Who couldn't, right? All right. How many minutes? What have we got here on the number time, Kanati?
22.
You know what? We're going to call upon Kanati at this time. This line go to you again, sister. Because we got to show y'all why these things got to still be happening up in here. Back in the so-called War of 1812, you know, which is hard to relate to why they were still banging with England, and yet all their styles, all their customs, everything that they did, they waited for their cue from England, even today. You know what I'm saying? Even today, they take all their cues from England, you know? So I don't know what that revolutionary trip was about. It really was about, you know, exchanging who's going to get the blame for being the devil. You know what I'm saying? Because they really wasn't about nobody doing nothing good. They're going to do dirt better than England did, but that was about all it was going to amount to. But in the War of 1812, you know, some decent folks burnt the White House down, you know, and African folks, our folks, yes, our proud African people said, man, we know what y'all do. So they went down to 16 Pennsylvania Avenue and they set the thing on fire. And they said there were some European indentured servants participating, okay? I don't know what they were. They probably got took so they wouldn't go tell. You know what I'm saying? Come on, you ain't going nowhere telling us. Anyhow, they come up with this song behind that called the National Anthem. It didn't really get big until like in the 1930s when some of the folks from Europe wanted to come and join their family over here. And they was like, no, go back. We don't want you to share in our prosperity. So they start singing that gang song on their own brothers. But in 1812, it was wrote. But why can't they still do the slavery move today? You know, a lot of folks sing the first verse of that thing, don't they? And we got to thank researcher Brother Mawad out of the criminal enterprise called Columbus because he hipped us to this in the early 90s. And it's right there in front of you. They ain't even trying to hide it. If you don't want to know, you won't know. But if you want to know, third verse of the National Anthem. Kanad is going to tell you where we're going to get this from. It's from what?
The 1996 Information Please Almanac.
And we're going to go to page number...
626.
Now, you don't have to use this for the source on the National Anthem, but I don't happen to have any copies of the thing around here proudly, so, you know what I'm saying? So I want you to, we're going to get it from this source, you go get it from whatever source you want it from. But we're going to the third verse. What does the third verse say, sister?
And where is that band who so vauntingly swore that the havoc of war and the battle's confusion, a home and a country should leave us no more? Their blood has washed out their foul footsteps' pollution. No refuge could save the hireling and slave from the terror of flight or the gloom of the grave. And the star-spangled banner in triumph doth wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Now, you interpret it how you want, but it sure sound like to me they said, first of all, if you work here because we make you work here, or you think you volunteered for pay, right? Whatever, slave or hireling. We want to ask you a question. Where are the folks that was here when we got here? Huh? They said we couldn't stay, but I'll tell you where they are. We wiped them out, washed away their memory with their blood. If anybody don't like it, we'll do the same thing to them. Ain't that what it say? That's what it say. Read it. You read it. We've read it. You get it. The third verse of their national anthem. Kanadi, it's time for us to get out of here for this edition of the Human Rights Patrol. You know, we got it by tape. We got it by, you know, we got it like in print. We got it all kind of ways up here in Human Rights Radio here in the Criminal Enterprise called Springfield, Illinois. And we're going to bring it to you in this program we're calling the Human Rights Patrol. We'll skip around subject by subject as we try to lay foundation for other conversations later on down the road. But don't let them fool you with you've been free. You ain't never been free up in here. These scoundrels is low enough. Nobody say that word no more, scoundrel. My daddy used to always say that. Scoundrel. These scoundrels is low enough to tell you anything. You know why? Because you trust them. They said they freed you, but they didn't. And then they bring you tape saying, you're right, we didn't. So? All right. Anyhow, Kanadi, tell them where you got that information on the national anthem from, please.
We got that from the 1996 Information Please Almanac on page 626.
It's the third verse of y'all's national anthem, y'all gang song. Let's get those shout-outs to those stations that had a nerve to play the Human Rights Patrol across the criminal enterprise and across the planet Earth.
Let's say Zalango to Human Rights Radio, 94.3 FM with Kaka Inko Uhuru and the listeners in the criminal enterprise called Durham, North Carolina. And the listeners in the criminal enterprise called Decatur, Illinois at 99.9 FM, Human Rights Radio, Brown by Brother Lavelle. Also to those who listen at 103.3 FM, BVHP in the criminal enterprise called Bayview, Hunters Point, California, with Kaka Michael Hibbett and the crew. And at 96.3 FM in the criminal enterprise called Santa Cruz, California, those who listen to Free Radio Santa Cruz with V-Man and her staff. Let us also shout out to the folks who listen to Berkeley Liberation Radio, run by Paul Griffin and the crew. And at this time, let me remind you, wherever you're listening, to thank those who made it possible. And also invite all of you to check us out on the World Wide Web at www.radio.about.com. Look for the Human Rights Information Network. Click on and hear even more Human Rights Radio.
And already because of your interest, we started this September 2001 with an effort of one installment a week, and we eventually, in short time, went to two, and here as we go into the last week of November 2001, we're already doing three installments a week, and if you have more interest in more Human Rights Radio information, get a hold of the folks that make this program possible, and we have no alternative but to be about the business of bringing you the information that you're going to, you know, you're going to want, right? All right? Kanata, thanks for being with us for this edition of the Human Rights Patrol. Again, shout out to those folks up and down the Human Rights Information Network. We're in our 4,535th night of broadcasting here in the criminal enterprise called Springfield, Illinois, and there's no question about it by now. You got to know that you're listening to the People's Choice, because the people choose to listen to the Human Rights Information Network.
Glory and sufferings of our ancestors.
Glory and sufferings of our ancestors.
And honor the struggle of our elders.
And honor the struggle of our elders.
We will strive to bring new values.
We will strive to bring new values.
And new life to our people.
And new life to our people.
We will have peace and harmony among us.
We'll have peace and harmony among us.
We will be loving.
We'll be loving.
Sharing.
Sharing.
And creative.
And creative.
We will work.
We will work.
Study.
Study.
And listen.
And listen.
So we may learn.
So we may learn.
Learn so we may teach.
Learn so we may teach.
We will cultivate self-reliance.
We will cultivate self-reliance.
We will struggle to resurrect.
We'll struggle to resurrect.
And unify our homeland.
And unify our homeland.
We will raise many children for our nation.
We'll raise many children for our nation.
We will have discipline.
We'll have discipline.
Patience.
Patience.
Devotion.
Devotion.
And courage.
And courage.
We will live as models.
We'll live as models.
To provide new direction for our people.
To provide new direction for our people.
We will be free and self-determinate.
We'll be free and self-determinate.
We are African people.
We are African people.
Aluta.
Aluta.
Continue on.
Continue on.